Okay, now we're on. We're going to discuss today what has changed regarding the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. For the girls who were with us in last semester, we've spoken about the mitzvah of living in Israel. And it's interesting that if you look at the situation today, a lot has changed regarding the living in the land of Israel. And I want to learn with you an interesting source, the Yeshuot Malko, which was written in 1891. That is 130 years ago. And he was asked in 1891, he was asked the question about the mitzvah today to live in the land of Israel. And let's see it inside. I'll do a share screen. Anat, if you have the source sheet, it's source 31 on the old sheet. And here it is, source 31. Can you see the source sheet? Yeah?
Yeah, we can see it.
Great. Okay, so the Yeshuot Malko, he was asked in 1891 about the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel in our times. Now, you have to remember, he's talking about before there was a state of Israel. The Mashiach hasn't come yet. And he was asked, is there a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel even before the Mashiach comes? Bizman hazeh, shenishtane bezrat Hashem yitbarach litova. He says, with the help of God, things have improved regarding the settling in the land of Israel. Hen besakanat drachim. What is sakana? Anat, you know a little Hebrew. What is sakana? Right? The Yeshua Malko is writing in 1891 that it's not dangerous to live in the land of Israel anymore. For 1900 years, there was no Jewish state, there was no Jewish army, and so it was relatively dangerous to live in the land of Israel. But already in 1891, he says that today things are not as bad as they used to be regarding danger. Vehen mitzad aniyut. Aniyut, what is ani with an ayin? Ani with an ayin means poor. Most of you know that for 1900 years, the land of Israel was really had terrible poverty. And the Yeshua Malko is saying, thank God, today in the modern world, again, 1891, that the economy has improved and that it's much easier to live here. Now, that was in 1891. Today, Israel is one of the high-tech leaders of the world. Israel is among the 20 top standards of living in the world. And it continues, Vaday hi mitzvah gdola. He says that today, in 1891, that it's no longer as dangerous as it used to be. And also the economy is not as problematic as it used to be. It's definitely a big mitzvah. Omnam, gam lefi dat haRamban shechashav zot lemitzvah taseh, mikol makom beikar mitzvah eina ela hayirusha vayeshiva keadam haoseh betoch shelo. He says, though, that in 1891, it's not the full mitzvah. Because the full mitzvah is not just to live in the land of Israel, but to live here under Jewish rule. Lichbosh Eretz Yisrael shetieh tachat Yerushatenu. Lo al bia rekanit shel ata. He said that as opposed to in 1891, when the land of Israel is in the hands of the Turks, and it's not in Jewish hands, it's not the full mitzvah to settle in the land of Israel. And obviously, if you understand what he's saying, you could obviously smile, because today, the land of Israel is in Jewish hands. And accordingly, that's a third reason, a third thing that has changed over the last 50 years, that What are the 3 points that we've seen in the meantime? Said people used to not live in the land of Israel because it was difficult to make a living. 1891, he says, that doesn't apply anymore. And the second reason why people used to not live in the land of Israel is because it was dangerous. And again, 1891, he says, that doesn't apply anymore. And third reason why people used to say, well, they can't live in the land of Israel because it's not the full mitzvah. Well, today we do have the full mitzvah because the land of Israel is in Jewish hands. It's not in the hands of the Turks anymore. And that is point number three. Let's go back and see point number four. The Yeshua Malko continues, and he says, so he says that even in his time, before there was a Jewish state in 1891, it's still a great mitzvah. Val zene emar gomel ish chesed kemifalo, gam ala pu'ula shel mitzvah mekabel schar. Even the preparation to prepare for the land of Israel, you know what, even somebody who sends money to donate to the land of Israel, to help people settle and live here, he says that's also very important. V'ne emar ashrei tmi me derech gam ala derech shel osei mitzvah yesh bo shleimut, ve'en safek she mitzvah gdola. And here comes point number four. Ki ha-kibbutz galuyot tu'atchalta de-ge'ula. Because the gathering of the exiles is the beginning of redemption. The Mashiach is not the first stage of redemption. As a matter of fact, the Mashiach is going to be the very final stage of redemption. But he says, V'ne'emar ora kabetz alav u'nikbatzav. Hashem says that he will gather us back to the land of Israel. She'ena shchina shawa pachot mishtei revavot mi'Yisrael. He says that the God can only rest his shchina when there are 20,000 Jews in the land of Israel. Chevra, what does that mean, 20,000 Jews in the land of Israel? Well, in 1880, there were 10,000 Jews in the land of Israel. By 1890, when the Yeshua Malka was writing this, it has already risen to 20,000. Today, it's not 20,000. It's not even 200,000. It's not even 2 million. Anybody know how many Jews are there in Israel today? No, there are more than 6.9 million. In other words, almost 7 million Jews live in the land of Israel today. And if he's getting exciting, he said, wow, there are 20,000 Jews living in the land of Israel. Imagine what he would say today when there is more than 100 times as many Jews living in the land of Israel. And if you think about it, what is Kibbutz Galiot? It's not just that the Jews have come from Yemen. Jews over the last century have come from, the first Aliyah was from Romania, that's Central Europe. And then the second Aliyah was from Eastern Europe. Then the third Aliyah was a large Aliyah from Germany and the Holocaust. And then came a lot of Jews running away after the Holocaust. Then a lot of Jews came on Aliyah at the founding of the State of Israel from the Sephardic countries. That is, from Yemen, from Lebanon, from Syria, from Iraq, from Iran, from Morocco. In other words, and more recently, from Ethiopia. 1.2 million Jews from the Soviet Union. 70,000 from Ethiopia. Today, the largest Aliyah is from France. And Baruch Hashem, girls, as we speak, apparently most of the Jews in the world live in the land of Israel. As Professor Sergio Della Pargolo said that in the year 2020, that was the turning point. And that apparently most Jews in the world today, if there are about 7 million Jews living here, and there are about 13 million Jews living in the world, that means that most of the Jews are living in the land of Israel for the first time since the exile of the 10 tribes almost 3,000 years ago. And that is point number four. What has changed regarding the state of Israel is that today, when a person makes Aliyah, he is part of Jewish history. And that's point number four. Before we go on, you know what? Maybe let's see one last point that the Yeshua and Malko mentions. The Yeshua and Malko mentions, ubifrat ata. He says, especially now, shirainu atshuka gdola, hen banashim pchutei yarech. There are those who are like less religious Jews who are interested in coming to Israel. Hen bebenonim, average Jews. Hen biyesharim belibotam. And also, we have righteous Jews coming to the land of Israel. Karov levadai shenitnotzetz ruach ha-geula ashrei chelko shumi mezakeh rabim. In other words, he says something very interesting. He says, you know, obviously, it's disappointing that some of the Jews living in the land of Israel are not religious. But he's pointing out, in 1891... he says, the fact that even non-religious Jews are interested in coming to the land of Israel, that's a sign that this is part of the redemption. Because, mele, if a tzaddik wants to make aliyah, that always was around. Tzaddikim wanted to come to the Holy Land. But if even average people, and even non-religious Jews are coming to the land of Israel, that's a sign that something historic, something godly, is going on. And that is the fourth difference that there is today in living in Israel. Now, that's the Yeshua at Malko. If I were to ask you, can anybody think of additional changes that have happened over the last 100 years that had changed the status of living in Israel? Anybody think of any... other changes that have gone on over the last 100 years? Let me ask you, girls, the fact that you all have come to Israel to learn Torah. You didn't go to Volozhin, even though Volozhin used to be the Torah center of the world. You didn't go to Yemen, because Yemen used to be the Torah center of the world. You didn't go to Morocco. You didn't go to Lithuania, which used to be the Torah center of the world. You came to the land of Israel because Israel is the Torah center of the world today, which is just a fifth reason what has changed over the last century, that the land of Israel is the most religious area in the world. You look at the Gdolei Ador. All of the top rabbis are living in Israel. All of the top Batei Din, the top Poskim, are all in Israel. The top yeshivas, even in the black hat world, I have cousins from Borough Park who, after high school, when they wanted to come to learn Torah, they came to the land of Israel. So Israel today is the Torah center of the world, which is just another reason to come home. That's point number five. Point number six, and this is another significant change. Chevra, I see that some of you are riding the buses. Some of you are walking outside. I don't know if you feel the difference, but men feel much more at home in the land of Israel. Why? Because wherever you walk in the world, when you wear a kippah, or you wear tzitzit out, and you're very visually Jewish, there's always a certain danger that you might be called some anti-Semitic names. I've been beaten up growing up in America. Sometimes we used to be kicked off of the stickball courts because we were Jewish. And sometimes it just doesn't feel comfortable. I know somebody who's a writer for the Jerusalem Post who started her career in Boston. She was writing for a newspaper in Boston. And after 10 years of working there, she came on Aliyah. And she'd been working in the Jerusalem Post for 2 or 3 years. And she decided, she's getting compliments all the time, she decided that she could ask for a raise. And she's waiting outside the boss's office. And she's trying to think, how should I ask for a raise? And then it hit her that when she was working for 10 years in Boston for a newspaper, not even once did she dare ask for a raise. And as she was sitting outside the office of the editor of the Jerusalem Post, it finally hit her why. She said, subconsciously, I was scared when I was living in America of asking for a raise that they might accuse me of being a money-hungry Jew. And girls, could everybody please turn on your cameras? That's the policy here. Thank you. Nechama, you have your camera? There we go. And so she said she was always embarrassed, just even subconsciously, of asking for a raise while living in the United States because of some kind of anti-Semitic idea that might come up. And here in Israel, she feels at home. And this is, by the way, a halachic reason as well. Most of you have davened in Batei Knesset. And you know that in Israel, in Shul, every single day we do Birkat Kohanim. Do you all know that? The Kohat get up. Outside of Israel, the basic minhag is just to say Birkat Kohanim, only on Yamim Tovim, on Musaf of holidays. So why do we only say it in the land of Israel? So the Kabbalistic reason is that there really is no halachic justification not to say Birkat Kohanim. You should say Birkat Kohanim everywhere. But the chidush is that Birkat Kohanim is a bracha that has to be made b'simcha, when you're happy. And Chazal say it's very difficult to be happy outside of the land of Israel. Here in Israel, we Jews feel at home. And it's interesting, there's a Gemara in the Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amud Bet, that says that they ask a question. Why do the rabbis outside of Israel, why do they have to dress up? You probably noticed when you came to Israel that in Israel, most rabbis don't wear jackets or ties or hats. And on the other hand, outside of the land of Israel, all the rabbis, they wear jackets and ties and hats. Have you noticed the difference? Right? Even look at the staff in Midrashat Moriah. And that was the situation already in the time of the Talmud about 1,700 years ago. And the Gemara asks, why do the Jews, why do the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael just dress, you know, the regular shirt and pants just like everyone else? And the Gemara gives two answers. The Gemara says, first of all, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land, the Rabbanim are on a higher level. And they don't need to dress up in order to demand respect. On the other hand, rabbis in Chutz Laretz, whose level of Torah is a lower level, they need to dress themselves up in order to demand respect. That's the first answer. The second answer is what pertains to our topic. The second answer of the Gemara says, the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, they feel at home. And when you feel at home, you can put on your house slippers, you can walk around in your pajamas, you can dress like you want to dress. On the other hand, when you're a guest, you have to put on an act and dress nicely for others. And so that is really another reason why it's that much easier today to live in the land of Israel, where simply a Jew feels at home, where the language is our language, and you don't think twice about wearing a kippah, or wearing your tzitzit out, or dressing with tzniut, because everybody knows that that's how religious Jews dress. And so that's just another reason what has improved regarding living in the land of Israel today. Another point is altruism. The framework of living in a Jewish state, where, for example, the norm is to spend 3 years going to the army, or for girls to do a year or two in Shirut Lumi, where you're dedicating a year or two or 3 years of your life to help Am Yisrael, that is a very important reason to live in the land of Israel, where the whole atmosphere is an atmosphere of helping our fellow Jews. Every time I drive to Yerushalayim, when I'm not in quarantine, I pick up hitchhikers. On my way back, I pick up hitchhikers. Why? They're my brothers. I've maybe never met them before in my life, but the fact is that the average person that I meet in the street is a Jewish brother. And I have an opportunity to do so many more mitzvot ben adam lechavero, right? That's just like half the Torah is mitzvot between Jew and fellow Jew. And that's just another reason that has changed for the better in terms of making aliyah. Another reason that has changed is that today it's doable. And if the mitzvah of living in Israel has been neglected for 1900 years because it wasn't really doable to live here, well, once again, it's doable. And can you imagine how a Jew would feel if he never had a pair of tefillin, and then all of a sudden he meets a scribe out in Siberia, and he gives him a pair of tefillin, right? He'd be ecstatic. He said, hey, I haven't been able to do this mitzvah ever before. And that is the way we should feel regarding living in Israel. And another point. Chevra, everywhere in the world, Judaism is my religion, right? I have a neighbor who's a Catholic, another neighbor who's a Protestant, another neighbor who might be Muslim. And your nationalism is that you're American, or Belgian, or French, but your religion is Judaism. Boker Tov, in Israel, your Judaism is doubled. Because not only are you acting Jewish when you make a bracha, or you daven, or you shake a lulav and etrog, or you kiss a mezuzah. But in Israel, all of life is Jewish. Your taxes are Jewish. Your bank account is Jewish. Do you know you could write your checks with a Hebrew date in the Israeli banks? And your street sweeper is probably Jewish. And your army is Jewish. And your money is Jewish. And it more than doubles your Judaism. So if a person likes Judaism, why not double it? All of these are ideas that have become shifted the mitzvah of living in Israel into a higher gear. So to summarize, if we learned in previous shiurim that it's important to live in the land of Israel because it's not just one mitzvah, but it brings a much greater quantity of mitzvot. And then we saw it brings a much greater quality of mitzvot. And then we mentioned that it's a national mitzvah to settle the land of Israel and move your family tree to its final destination, which will have historic ramifications even another 500 years from now. In addition to the kedusha, the holiness of the land, and the fact that we love the land of Israel, these are 5 points that we learned last time that apply in all time periods. But today we mentioned points that have been added on over the last 100 years and for sure for another 70 years. The idea that it's no longer as dangerous as it used to be. That's point number 6 or 5 of the new points. That it's not poor, higher standard of living as it used to be. Point number 3, we now have a Jewish state, which is the real mitzvah of owning the land of Israel and settling it in Jewish hands. Number four, that when a person makes aliyah today, it is part of the geula process and kibbutz galiot. Number 5, it's the Torah center of the world. Number 6, you feel at home, and you have a lot more Jewish pride being together with the Jewish people. Number 7 of the new points, altruism, right? That you have so many more opportunities to help your fellow Jews. Number 9, that it's been neglected for so many years, and now we have a chance to do it again. Number 10, it doubles your Judaism. And this is connected with what Rav Charlap also said, that Rav Chalap says every generation has the mitzvah of the generation. How do you know what the mitzvah of our generation is? Well, Rav Chalap says, simply look at what the goyim are trying to take away. In the time of Rabbi Akiva, they did not allow Jews to learn Torah. In the time of the Maccabees, the Greeks did not let the Jews do Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Jews Davka did Kiddush HaChodesh, and Davka taught Torah, because what the goyim are trying to take away, that's a sign from Hashem that that is the mitzvah of our generation. Today, thank God, there is freedom of religion everywhere in the world, so we don't have to worry about learning Torah, or doing Brit Milah, or Kiddush HaChodesh. But the one mitzvah that the goyim are trying to take away is look at what the Arabs call jihad. They don't want us in the land of Israel. Iran, they don't have a problem with Jews putting on tefillin. The Iranians don't have a problem with Jews eating kosher. But the Iranians want to nuke the Jews in the land of Israel. The United Nations, do you know that most of the decisions of the United Nations Security Council have been against the state of Israel? You can find this on the internet. I couldn't believe it. I had to go in, and I actually counted that the Jews in the land of Israel today bother the UN more than all of the world's problems over the last 70 years put together. Right? Take the Soviet Russia, take Saddam Hussein, take Iranian nuclear problems, take Islamic fundamentalism, take ISIS and all the wars in Bosnia and Serbia, take all of the world's wars put together, and Israel bothers the United Nations more than any other of the problems put together. Which means the United Nations of the world doesn't have a problem with Jews eating kosher. But they have a problem with Jews in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem, in Yehudah v'Shomron. Which means, says Rav Chalap, that today, if that is the only mitzvah which the goyim are trying to prevent, that is a sign that that is the mitzvah of our generation. In other words, Be'ezrat Hashem, this is just the final class that we had on the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael that we started last time. Next time we'll start a new topic, but we see that today there are a lot of reasons, a lot more than ever before, to live in the land of Israel.